This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Carr sends it around. Marner waiting. Connor McDavid scores! Connor McDavid for Canada!
A loss, but still living up to the Four Nations hype. Good morning, Metroplex. It's the Friday edition of Sean and RJ, along with Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We got Peyton Phillip Russell running things live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. You heard the audio, some of it, most of it, not all of it, here on 105.3 The Fan. You watched it last night on ESPN as Connor McDavid has the last laugh and Canada beats the U.S. 3-2 in overtime.
Not a shocker that the best player in the world winds up winning it. Not a shocker at all. And, you know, look, Canada, you know, Binnington played tremendous. I mean, he had three really good saves on Austin Matthews, and he's got a cup. I mean, there's a lot of talk of Aiden Hill starting this game for Canada, questioning whether Binnington was the right guy. They stuck with him. They stuck with him almost the entire tournament. And he came through in a big way last night.
And the United States actually dominated the overtime, it felt like.
They did. I mean, it looked like they did. I mean, it was...
Sean
McDonough said, hey, it's only a matter of time. If this keeps up, this is not going to last much longer.
No, you can't. The amount of rush they were getting, you can't, like, just sustain that. And, I mean, if you look at the goals that Ben didn't even give up in the game, I mean, we just saw the second one. I mean, that was not really even on him. He just played really, really well. And, you know, Hellebuck let a couple in.
Bobby, from a casual hockey fan point of view, I thought this matched the hype and lived up to it. It went into overtime. That added even more, but the back and forth, the enthusiasm, all the patriotism, who's going to boo? Are they going to boo during the anthems? I thought that this lived up to the billing.
Yeah, it had at least for me, it had the same type of feeling I get when I'm watching like playoff hockey, where it's like these intense, like, tight margins, and like when Canada's shooting in those final 30 seconds and it's like your heart kind of like drops and it's like, oh my gosh, like the net's like wide open and they just missed the shot or whatever, and then you get those big time saves in overtime and everything else. It was very, it had that same sort of intensity feel to me. And so in terms of that and matching that hype, I thought it absolutely was.
Did you watch as a non-diehard hockey fan? What perfect timing as well with like all the other sports basically slowing down. The NBA getting back into it a little bit, but you had last night basically to yourself perfect timing.
Whole country. You know, the NFL is in their stupid. Was that?
Which country?
That's
the
right.
One that matters. This one.
They're all the same country soon. Like, you know, the NFL is in their stupid, silly season where everybody just starts making up stories. You know, all the media members in the NFL have between the week after the Super Bowl until the draft or until the start of free agency, and they've got to come up with content. So this is where you get your, hey, let's trade this guy for that guy kind of articles that you get out there, right? Yeah. So that's the NFL silly season. Baseball, you get your spring training game starting like today for the most part across the league. And then, you know, basketball, like you said, it's just kind of getting back into it, but none of these games are massive games. But this was to itself, and it was great theater. It really was. Like, it lived up to the hype. You get overtime. I mean, come on now.
Canada, like they've done throughout the tournament, scored first. United States matching it. They trade goals in the second period, and then we go to the overtime. I became a huge fan of Brady Tkachuk last night. I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy's a menace out there. His brother was banged up.
Yeah, I don't even think he played the third period or overtime. I mean, he only got about 6-7 minutes of ice time. Those guys are really they're supposed to be really good locker room guys. And of course, like, you know, their dad obviously played. He was a menace. They're menaces. They're awesome players.
Slavin was the other player that jumped out to me defensively.
Favor too. Like, those two guys are going to be on the Olympic team next year when they go to Milan. And I mean, the coach Sullivan was talking about them in the post game, like just saying how really awesome they were together. And they're going to be tough to deal with. I think one of them is only like 22 years old, like really, really young.
Look, if you wanted to effectively lean into us versus them and try to get people rallying around something and interested in something by using that as like a almost Olympic type feel of like, this is your country, you need to be behind it. It worked. Like, it works, I think. I think there were a lot of people who...
Engel wrote on Facebook, slap a flag on anything.
I mean, look. In A Few Good Men, if you've ever seen A Few Good Men, their line in there at one point, one of the Marines says, unit, core, God, country. And that's like their creed for like what they're loyal to. No, their unit, their core. And so they go down the list. Same thing for a lot of people, I think, they feel like, where it's like city, state, like that's their rooting interest. If you can localize it as much as possible, then yeah, I don't watch a lot of hockey. But then I'm sitting there and I'm mad and I'm just going like, these toboggan ass MFers.
Yeah, Faber's only 22. Look at those glasses. You don't see the big rec specs out there on too many athletes.
So a lot of other sports fans are asking, how do we get some of that? How do we go ahead and copy some of that passion and put it into what is now left of the Pro Bowl? Put it into the absolute joke that is Kevin Hart's stand-up routine during NBA All-Star Weekend. PK Subban on ESPN and First Take said, you can't.
Because you're making 100, 200, 300 million, you should be out there banged up. You should be. That's why we pay you, is to max out. We talk about greatness and it being the longevity of somebody's career. I don't care if you play 50 years. I want your best 10. I want you on the court dominating. I want you to go all out. I want Michael Jordan. I want Kobe. That's what I want in every sport. That's the guy that I follow. You're a different version than that. You don't get my respect. That's me, and that's my angle. That's who I am.
PK, he's been on fire recently, going off on the other sports.
He has been. And you know, look, I mean, that's an interesting kind of tug of war that teams have to deal with. Like, do you want a player... Because they like, you know, teams are just as complicit in this, in the load management. They're just as complicit as the players are because they don't want their guy to get hurt. They want to bubble wrap him. They want him the last 15 years. And PK is talking about, I don't care if the guy, I'd rather the guy give 100% in 9 years than 80% in 15. And I think I agree with him on that. Like, would you rather have 15 years of Michael Jordan at 80% or 9 years at 100%? I mean, I'll take the 9 years and go.
And you're also dealing like the haves and have-nots. You could take it to kids growing up in a rich family versus those that weren't. You know, you're going to tell LeBron James and these NBA athletes making $50 million a year that they're going to play as hard as the hockey have-nots. Now, they're still millionaires, and they're still making really good money, but they're kind of like the have-nots of the sports world in the world of hockey, viewed oftentimes as the fourth favorite, and you would think they would play harder, just like the have-not kid would scrap harder and work more.
Yeah, and I mean, look, they've managed to effectively, you made the comparison yesterday to World Baseball Classic, which the WBC, like, that last time around, it became intense like that, where people really leaned into that, and you know, this is really intense. We leaned into that. So I don't know if you can tap into that same sort of thing with basketball. Maybe if you do go like a USA versus the world type thing. But again, then you're not playing necessarily for your country. And so I don't know if it's got the same sort of rallying. Like, I do think if you wanted to do something with the Pro Bowl where you said, because NFL players do get worked up about this, turn it into you're representing your state. And so this is about which state turns out the best football players. Like, if you could create a flag football tournament at the end with the Pro Bowl out of enough teams talking about that,
Florida,
you might
Georgia,
get people go like, oh, well, Texas is the best. Well, Florida, you get people worked up about that.
Yeah, you might be able to do a college one too, but then it would just be Alabama winning like right now in the NFL.
For now.
Or you know, Georgia. But yeah, I mean, you could, I don't know, like some of these, you know, baseball, you can not necessarily give your all in baseball and it still look normal. You know, like you're not going to go out there and pitch and like,
you just have to bust your rear end for, you know, minutes straight.
You're not going to go, you have to go up to bat. You're not going to not try to hit the ball. Doesn't matter what you're doing. Like, you swing as hard as you can. You always do. Just the way it is. And same with pitching. Like, it's you're not going to not try. So, it's a lot easier in baseball to look like you're giving max effort.
Nothing makes me feel older nowadays than watching the young phenom that we covered now with the gray hair. And that's what I noticed with Crosby as soon as this game ended. I'm like, oh, my God. Sidney Crosby has just gone gray. He's got the speckled follicles up top. So that made me a little bit depressed as Team Canada was celebrating.
Yeah, I still feel like whenever I hear the name Sidney Crosby, I'm like, what's he, like 28 or something? Like, he's been...
Guess how old he is. 37?
37.
Yeah. 37.
I think...
I feel like we just got done covering Lemieux.
Yeah, I think his coach said he's like the greatest winner Canada's ever had, which he might be. Like, he's got cups, he's got Olympic golds, junior golds, he's got this. I mean, he might be. It's been a hell of a career.
I'll have to see what Money Puck says about that, see if they got something on it.
Zach Martin makes his decision. We'll get into the praising of the Cowboys big man at 6:20 this morning. Last night, Luka Doncic did not play. LeBron goes off for 40 against the Portland Trailblazers. Luka had just been taken off his minutes restriction by J.J. Redick coming out of the All-Star break. But, Choppy, I thought you made an interesting point last night in our discussion, following our discussion of, was Luka busting his rear end for conditioning during the All-Star break? And you brought up the point that maybe he was told not to.
I wonder if he was, because like, if they're not going to play him on back-to-backs, which, you know, no issue there. There's a lot of guys in the league who don't, especially when you come back from injury. But the way
I think they are going to play him on back-to-backs, but like not right
now. Not right now. But the way that leg, you know, his lower body has been consistently kind of tweaked over the years, I wonder if instead of them saying, hey, go out there, do suicides, do wind sprints during the break, if they just said, just keep resting it, and then let's get you back in shape using the games to get you back in shape. I don't know, because you know, they do have a little bit of a cushion, not a huge cushion for the playoffs, right? You know, they were the five, they had a little bit, and maybe they were using those games to get them back in shape. I don't know. I wonder how they would look at it.
Yeah, and I mean, I wonder how much that's something that Luka's in favor. Does Luka want it? Like, do they have to competitively pull him back and say, like, no, you're not gonna play. We're gonna rest you. This is like a thing where we gotta get you this way. But I mean, or is it just something where Luka's like, yeah, great, this is part of what my team has been trying to say, is that we need to like stagger me like this.
Meanwhile, we finally get the Anthony Davis update. He suffered the injury on February 8th. The Dallas Mavericks came out yesterday and said he will be reevaluated in 2 weeks with further updates to follow. That's kind of like the new Dallas Maverick injury update. Chris Young has his that you fell for like we did many times on the G-Bag Nation. The Mavs are like, now we're just going to reevaluate. Okay.
Means
he's going to be out 2 weeks. And Dana Gaffer will reevaluate in 3 weeks. So we got 2 more weeks at least of AD on the shelf.
It doesn't even...
But it's not season-ending surgery.
No.
It doesn't even read like a real injury update. Like when you see the way they're like, he's making good progress. Like what? I've never seen a team say, they'll either say he's out for this long or he's out here and he's going to be, but like they're almost talking about it the way Kidd would give an answer in a press conference. Like it was almost a transcribed answer.
When he shows up.
Which is just, it's weird.
So that would be March 7th. It would be 2 weeks from today. That's 7 games. So he would miss New Orleans, the Lakers, Charlotte, Milwaukee twice, Sacramento, Golden State. That's not the easiest schedule. It's also not the toughest either.
And then the crazy news out of nowhere, Victor Wembanyama, who we just talked about as the face of the league yesterday, he's going to miss the rest of the season with a blood clot.
Blood clot in his shoulder.
DVT.
What is that?
Deep vein thrombosis.
Deep vein. Is that where you get the thick veins?
No, it's blood clots, deep vein thrombosis.
Oh, okay, there you go. This really sucks. This really sucks for Wemby. And now it's like, you know, he's out for the year. And I wonder how this might, like, does this impact future earnings?
He's not eligible for all NBA. He is not eligible for what you pointed out last night. He was a lock for defensive player of the year. He is not eligible for any other major awards because he did not meet the 65-game minimum. He was a minus 2,000 favorite to win defensive player of the year.
Yeah, and now whoever gets it is like, all right, you weren't the defensive player of the year. You know, like you did it because you got the mat. You played enough games. You know, but Wemby was clearly going to win this thing. He could have played these games, been the worst defensive player in the league, and he still would have won it at this point.
Yeah, I mean, are you saying that you think that, let's say he just, if this wasn't a rule about a game minimum, would you say he should have just got it without playing in the second half at all?
I think he would have still.
It's a big ask.
I don't know who second in the running is for defensive player of the year.
Are the Grizzlies manipulating Jaren Jackson again this year? I don't know.
All right, that's everything you needed to know to start off your Friday with Sean and RJ on DFW Sports Station. In case you're new to us, we are your official home of the Dallas Cowboys, so no one is going to cover and praise Zach Martin more after the retirement news yesterday. We honor the big fella and ask where he ends up on the Cowboys list of all-time greatest offensive linemen next on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With the 16th pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, the Dallas Cowboys select Zach Martin, guard, Notre Dame.
So instead of bringing in somebody that could potentially supplant Tony Romo, they bring in somebody to make sure nobody plants Tony Romo.
An all-time top five in the moment disappointment for me in the 15 years of working on the home of the Dallas Cowboys. In the moment, I was sitting next to RJ Choppy. Maybe it was Mike Fisher. I don't know whether it was Brad or Mickey Spagnola inside AT&T Stadium with the t-shirts printed up. I still have the t-shirts. Very comfortable. Johnny Jerry with the money sign as we were anticipating a ratings bonanza with Texas A&M taking over for Tony Romo at quarterback. Instead, we were left stunned, as you heard, with that background noise as the legendary Hall of Fame career of Zach Martin began. And yesterday, the big fella deciding to retire at the age of 34, 9 Pro Bowls, 7 All-Pros, member of the All-2010s team. And he retires, maybe the stat I remember him the most for, he retires with more All-Pro selections than accepted holding penalties.
It's a sexy pick.
It was not a sexy pick, but it was the right pick. And I could easily argue it was the best draft pick of the post-Jimmy era.
Yeah, there's a case for it. Yeah, there's a case for it. Yeah.
Because I think it's the peak moment of Jerry's post-Jimmy era. It was the peak of it. Because that singular draft pick stabilized the offensive line. The offensive line had, you know, was not great in 2013 or 12 or 11. You know, it was transition. You bring in Tyron, you bring in Travis, and then Zach just stabilized it. Like, that offensive line, we were sitting in the office. We were going to fly to Vegas and bet the under on the Cowboys win total before the 2014 season.
Yep.
And, you know, Zach completely transferred. The Cowboys didn't have an identity. We have, how many segments do we have? What's the Cowboys' identity? What's their identity? During those 8 and 8 years, you know, was it a pass team? Was it a run team? Was it a good team, a bad team? I mean, he gave them their identity. It was like, we have the best offensive line in football. That's our identity.
The very first pick ever made by Will McClay running the draft was Zach Martin. And he was, I mean, it does seem like just yesterday he was picked. Like, I can't believe his entire career has just flashed like that. I mean, that's just the passage of time, I guess, and how quickly it goes. But he was about as perfect of an offensive lineman as you could ask for. Like, if you're building a prototype, he really is it. Like, size. Like, I mean, he's got the size, too. He could have been, I think, a Hall of Famer if he plays any of the five positions on the offensive line. He could have played center. He played guard. We saw him play tackle when he had to. He did it at Notre Dame. He was just so powerful, so balanced. The technique was absolutely perfect, and he was just as good of a run blocker as he was a pass blocker. He was absolutely fantastic.
He's one of those guys where the draft expert, whether it's Mike Mayock or someone else, goes, you got a 10-year starter. You know, mm-hmm. You can pick the flashier player. You can pick the bigger gamble. But if you pick Marquise Pouncey, if you pick Marshall Yonda, if you pick Zach Martin, you're good to go there for 10 to 15 years. That's that type of, all right, we know we're good here with the safety net.
Yeah, and scouts to this day will still talk about, they knew something, they were watching something special when they went to the Senior Bowl that year, and it was one-on-ones, and the scouts kept, hey, match up Donald and Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Put Aaron Donald and Zach Martin on each other. And they were like, you could watch them battling and go, all right, these two are different. It's just the value of what a guard was. Like a guard who, and I mean, some people considered him a tackle at the time, but the value of where he went down at 16. But I mean, just absolutely, to me, he is the offensive version of Bob Lilly to me. And I know a lot of people would think of Witten that way, but like Zach Martin to me is this era's kind of Mr. Cowboy is how I look at him. And he is just probably the greatest player in the history of the Cowboys not to win a Super Bowl. It'd be him, Tyron, or Witten.
Where?
I mean throughout his career, didn't win a Super Bowl.
Okay. So not just with the Cowboys.
Yeah, not just with the Cowboys. Just period, didn't win one in his career.
Let's just look back at that draft real quick for S's and giggles. One, Jadeveon Clowney, still playing. Two, Greg Robinson, who was supposed to be Larry Allen, going to the Rams.
What did he go, three? He lasted 3 years?
Blake Bortles, 3. Oof. Sammy Watkins, 4. Khalil Mack, 5. Still playing. Jake Matthews, 6. Mike Evans, future Hall of Famer, I think. Justin Gilbert, totally forgot about him, to the Cleveland Browns.
It's so funny to see, if you look on Wikipedia, the highlighted names showing that they were a Pro Bowler. And then there's a break and a bunch of highlighted names of Pro Bowler, and that break is the Brown selection.
That's Gilbert at 8. Anthony Barr, Minnesota Vikings linebacker. Eric Ebron, Lions tight end. Taylor Lewan, busting the boys. Odell Beckham to the Giants at 12. Aaron Donald, Rams 13. Kyle Fuller to the Bears. Ryan Shazier, the player that the Cowboys would have picked if on the board.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he would have been their guy. That was who they absolutely loved. Which it's sometimes it's better to be lucky than good type of thing. And not that they missed on the evaluation of that player.
He was a good player.
Yeah. He was not Zach Martin, though.
No, that would have
been a missed opportunity. It's just like James Francis was a good player coming out of Baylor, was a good player for the Bengals, but you're glad he got picked up. And then you're like, well, I guess we'll take Emmett Smith.
Zach at 16, CJ Mosley, Baltimore Ravens at 17, and then you go to Calvin Pryor, Juwan James, Brandon Cooks, Clinton Dix, and old Johnny Football, 22, to the Browns.
Yeah, that was a decent draft. There's a lot of guys still playing. I had to look up Jake Matthews. He's still out there.
Yeah.
That was 9 straight Pro Bowlers selected when you started with Anthony Barr and got down to C.J. Mosley. 9 straight Pro Bowlers went in that draft.
We just asked Zach Martin at the Super Bowl in New Orleans if he had made his decision.
I'm focused on getting healthy, right? I think people forget, like, I'm a free agent, so I'm not under contract with anyone. So first and foremost, I want to get healthy, and then when free agency rolls around, see what's going on, and then make a decision from there.
I think we kind of came away from that with a negotiation feel of,
yeah,
I'm going to play. It just may not be here. Let me remind everyone I'm free and available, and the Cowboys have not locked me up to that extension. That's the way I came away with that, even though you had watched Zach over and over with the game film last year and talked about the decline. How did you weigh in your mind decline versus injury affecting his play that had dropped?
Yeah, I think it was definitely a decline. It wasn't just he was hurt last year. He was hurt, and he'd been getting banged up more consistently throughout his career. Like, he had played a lot of football. Like, he came into, you gotta remember, he came from a tough physical Notre Dame program where he played there until he was 24 years old. And then he comes into the NFL and he's immediately like road grader, block for DeMarco Murray, Ezekiel, just playing really physical ball. So yeah, that wore him down. And he declined pretty sharply last year. I would say it was probably 60% on decline, 40% on injuries. But I did feel like when we were walking off of that bounty set and we were talking to each other, because I remember that was one of the things we were chatting about as we were walking off, was I did feel like, I think he's going to play again. Like, I hadn't felt that way at the end of the season, but I did leave in there, felt like he wanted to play. He must just have felt like, I can't get healthy. I can't do it, and I'm not going to be able to be the same player.
And then durability and consistency. Started 162 games. He missed more than one game in a season just twice. That's it. 2024 limited to 10 games because of that ankle injury that required surgery. And he did get that last payday when we were sitting there in Oxnard at training camp before adjusting that contract that guaranteed him $36 million over the past two seasons. That made him the third highest paid guard in the NFL. So he got a nice little send-off.
Yeah, he did. Not a bad way to go. That's what happened. You know, he knew that he was coming towards the end, wanted to get one last contract. And I assume he knew when he was talking to us about what he was going to do. I don't know.
Probably.
I don't know that in the 2 weeks since then that he had his agent call and say, okay, you know, who's already calling about me? You know, like, I don't think that's what it was. Maybe he just like realized, hey, I can't get healthy. I'm done.
Where does he fall, fan text? 877-881-1053 on the greatest Cowboys offensive lineman of all time. Is he two?
Behind
Larry.
Yes, probably. That's probably where he goes, is number two. He's above Tyron.
Is he above Tyron?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Tyron was great. Tyron just was not able to consistently stay healthy. And I feel like Zach's run as the best was longer and a more consecutive run than Tyron Smith had. Tyron Smith was, at his peak, may have been better than Zach Martin, but Tyron Smith was... He was a supernova. It was like, just went up, burned out. I mean, he was about 4 years where he was the absolute best.
The only other one that the Landry Hat website throwing up
Rayfield.
Here. Rayfield.
Yeah. Rayfield took too long to get in the hall. Took too long to get the Ring of Honor.
I mean, people will tell you that all the time that the best offensive lineman anybody saw was Eric Williams before his car wreck. And that was, he would have been the best. And that 3 years he played, he was the most dominant.
They put Nate at four, Tyron at five, Eric at seven, Flozell at nine, Frederick at 10.
Flozell at nine. And who? Sorry, who were three and four?
Three and four. Three was Zach, and four was Nate.
So Flozell Adams is a better player than Mark Stepnoski or any of the other like multiple time Pro Bowlers.
There was. I mean, look, this offensive line they just had, you know, with the Tyron, Frederick, Zach, and then the one in the 07 to 2010 or 06 really. I mean, the Cowboys have had a really good offensive line.
Well,
two different reincarnations of it.
Great Wall reincarnation. Yeah. We were trying to come up with a nickname for him. What are the Tolos saying?
Guys, everyone is in agreement with y'all. Everyone on the Fantex who is Texan so far says Zach is number two behind Larry Allen, and then Tyron three. A lot of people agree Tyron Smith is three.
Tyron, Hall of Fame?
Probably.
Let's see.
But it's not as much of a slam dunk as Zach is. Zach will go in the Hall of Fame. But, I mean, I thought Marshall Yanda was going to get in, too, and he still hasn't.
RJ did that study. We'll get into it a little bit later on the home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Thank you for being a Tolo. That stands for turn it on, leave it on. We want to hook you up with a Dierks Bentley ticket giveaway in the final hour of the program. We're going to have the junk drawer as well. But we have a new addition to the morning show. Said he's a big Tolo. Said he was a big fan. Let's actually put that to the test with the Friday edition of Sean and RJ. Just getting started on DFW Sports Station. Back to the Four Nations at 7 o'clock this morning here on Sean and RJ. We'll have a Dierks Bentley ticket giveaway a little bit later on for you. Turning it on, leaving it on. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club. That is our best audience of the entire program. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy and Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. But in the back, we always have Peyton Russell holding it down live on the Fan Camp, Twitch, and YouTube. And Pepe, we have a new addition to the show.
We do. Look, I mean, it's an industry that you got people coming and going, but, you know, you want to solidify a squad here, especially on the morning show. Us four have, you know, had a great bit of chemistry here. We had Ryan do a great job, but now we have Aiden in here. I believe he's 23 years old, so he's younger than me. So obviously, if I can't answer any questions or any pop culture stuff that you guys asked, surely he can't do it. Found out, for I think first day, he was repping a Packers beanie. So already off to the wrong start. I think Monday we...
The Anthony Davis of the fan.
Me, Bobby, and RJ decided we have the entire NFC North covered up here. If we want to do an NFC North show, we could do it. We have everyone
up
here.
Let's not keep talking about it. those morons don't decide to stop talking about it. We can at least stop talking about it.
So I was like, okay, you know, when you hire someone at any company, you want to have someone that's a little familiar with at least what they're working with here. You don't want, you want the experience, but you want someone who knows what they're getting into. And so Aiden, you know, he came in and of course in his interview was like, yeah, I'm a Tolo, guys, I listen. I was like, all right, let's quiz you on being Tolo. So I took him to the side studio the other day and I was asking him, you know, questions about the show, and let's see how good or how bad Aiden did.
All right, guys, I am here with our new video guy, Aiden. He is taking over the mornings, thank goodness, so I don't have to deal with all the fan cam crap anymore. So Aiden, thank you for joining us. Early mornings, man. So what do you want to get out of the show here? Why'd you join the morning show?
I'm a morning person, so I'm up at this time anyways, but I just wanted the experience in the sports media field.
Stop.
And I didn't.
We now, hired a robot.
Mr. Producer, are you responsible for whatever that noise is while he is speaking? Like, what is that?
Yeah, I don't know if that was just the mic. I don't know if he was away from it. I couldn't fix it. So, yes, there's a little bit of a background noise, but you know what? That adds to it.
It does. No, it definitely takes away from it. No doubt about it. All right, Bobby, what is this? A comagometer? Well, what do we need to have DJ try to alter in there?
I mean, it sounds like one of those things that they put on there. Their throat after a surgery, but no.
South Park character.
I mean, honestly, that it kind of sounds like a mic wasn't on that he was talking into, like almost like Peyton had the wrong thing potted up.
No, we tested before. Saying. You know,
we tested before and it still sounded like that.
Yeah, there we go.
The experience in the sports media field, and I grew up listening to the show, so I thought it was the best way for me to get a start.
So, you know, I'm going to quiz you a little on the morning show here. Let's see if you actually know the guys, Sean, RJ, and Bobby. First off, I'll ask you, who has the best hair on the show?
I'm going to go with RJ.
RJ, you know, he doesn't really have any hair. That's why he always wears hats around. You know, Bobby doesn't have any hair either. Sean's the only one on the show that actually has hair. So Sean is the correct answer there. I'll give you an easier one here. Who has the smallest hands on the show?
Gotta be Bobby.
It's gotta be Bobby. Stop. You know,
this guy's he's not the Anthony Davis of the fan. He's
amazing.
The Mike McCarthy of the fan.
Amazing.
He lied in his interview. He has no idea. Zip zero. And I'm also starting to think that Pepe sabotaged him to keep him down. Peyton's voice is booming with a crystal clear projection. And here's old Robo Aiden back there.
The only other possibility is the possibility that he doesn't know which one of us is which.
Oh. People tell us that all the time. They're like, hoodies and hats and beards. That's all three. Yeah. You look like brothers.
So we have him come in here and point to us on which one is actually. So we have a vicious 0-for-2 start. I mean, I don't know which one is worse, the small hands or the hair one. The hair one, he may have never seen us with the hats actually off, but this is a horrific beginning.
There's still hope. There's still hope for Aiden.
Gotta be Bobby.
It's gotta be Bobby. You know, if you listen to the morning show, you would know it's actually Sean. Sean has the smallest hands. You should go up to him and shake his hand sometime. They're very tiny. So we're 0-for-2. We're on a great start, Aiden. Well, here's an easier one. How many times has Bobby overslept in the morning? It's a lot, I know.
Since I've been here, none.
None, okay.
I don't know about beforehand.
I think we're almost at double digits, so not good for Bobby. Last one here for you, Aiden. Who checks out and stops paying attention after 7 a.m. on Thursdays?
Ooh.
Who's already focused on the weekend after 7 a.m. on Thursdays?
I'm going to guess RJ.
No. RJ, nope, that would be me. Right here, Aiden. You know it's me. I check out after my segment, the payload every Thursday at 6:40, and then I'm done for the weekend. And Aiden, one thing to know about Bobby is he loves to talk about his mom. So whenever you see him, you ask him, hey, how's your mom doing, Bobby? You know, is she doing well today? He'll talk to you for hours on that. So just ask him. Every morning you see him, just ask him about his mom. All right, Aiden, I heard you're a Packers fan. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Unfortunately. All right, you're a Packers fan. Did Dez catch it, though?
I'm going to say no because I'm a Packers fan. But even if he did, there was still about 5 minutes left on the clock from Aaron Rodgers, one of my favorite quarterbacks of all time, to go to work.
That's an awful answer, Aiden. Your Tolos will be very upset at you for answering that. Dez did catch it. It's a fact. I don't care what they called it. Dez did catch the ball. All right, Aiden, thanks so much for joining us. Do you have any other questions for me that I can answer about the morning show?
Oh, yeah. What happened to Roy?
All right, Aiden. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We're not going to answer that question. Sean can answer that for you. Thanks so much, man.
So he does listen. He listened back then. He just doesn't listen in the last 5 years.
That's well done.
Brutal.
Very well done.
Brutal start from Aiden.
Yeah.
That was good, other than that clearly was recorded after Thursday at 7 o'clock because Peyton didn't bother to give a tin can for a microphone.
I have a very important question.
Is he back there?
Yeah, he's back here.
Tell him to run in here real quick.
Aiden, run in here real quick.
Aiden, hurry up.
I've got a super very important question to ask this kid when he rolls in here.
Okay. Do you think he'll be able to tell us which one is which, though?
I think he will.
Okay.
I think he'll be able to tell.
Unless he's doing a bit and he's having to identify.
Come over here in front of the microphone. Look at this. He looks like your son. He looks like
he's 23.
He looks like Luca a little bit.
Yeah, get some mic presence. Get right up on that mic since Peyton didn't tell you that last time.
All right, Aiden, what you want to do yours first?
Yeah. Is there a Y in your name?
There is. A-Y-D-E-N.
Wise County?
No.
You knew there was a Y?
No, I didn't. I was just, you know, he's 23. That's just the thing to do.
Throw the Y
just
in.
Just throw a Y in. You could just shoehorn a Y in anybody's first name.
All right, Aiden, which one is RJ Choppy Point? Good job. Yeah. Which one is Bobby? All right, good job.
Now go put your hand up to Sean's. All right. Do it real quick. He's about to be startled.
Come over here. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Can you see it on the fan cam?
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
Get out. Get out. Horrible, horrible beginning. Where's Caitlin? 877-881-1053 to watch those things on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube. It's the Friday edition of Sean and RJ on DFW Sports Station. All right, let's talk about this Seattle mayor. This was vicious. This was cruel. You think you hate your mayor here because he walked into a Mavs game next to Patrick Dumont? No.
This is Bruce Harrell, the mayor of Seattle, during the State of the City address. And in the middle of this, there's going to be a kind of a groan, and that's when the mayor pulls out a prop.
Right now, at this moment, I have an announcement to make. I'm just kidding.
Basketball.
I got you. Okay. It's a long speech. I had to break it up a little bit here.
What a jackass.
What a jerk. He pulls out a basketball.
That was
cruel.
Oh, my God. That was cruel. This is like...
That's trolling,
man. If Bassick was a mayor, he would do that.
Yes.
This is like the mayor here when Luka opts out, doesn't re-sign with the Lakers, go, I got a little surprise for you guys. And he brings out the blue 77. He's like, just kidding.
Just kidding.
And people think that Dumont's in the back and they're going to come out and celebrate it. And he thinks that he's announcing the return of hoops in Seattle.
Look, I love a good troll. It was actually kind of funny. It was cruel. It's cruel if you're a Seattlean. If you're a Seattleite.
Is that what they're called?
Seattleites, I guess. Seattleans.
I mean, you could hear the people in the background. They were like, yes, yeah. Like, they were so excited.
Pepe, play it one more time. Let's hear the crowd build up.
Right now, at this moment, I have an announcement to make. I'm just... I'm just kidding. I just
like, do you really think
like
that
Zach
the
Martin
NBA
getting drafted?
Do you really think the NBA would let the mayor announce it and not the NBA do it at the Adam Silver just had the State of the League address. I think he would announce it there. I think let the mayor do it.
You're not thinking of that in the moment, man. And then he brings out that basketball. That was cruel. Is this enough money to land in your airplane seat upside down? The Delta payout?
The Delta payout, $30,000, no questions asked, apparently. That is, by the way, passengers who accept the money could still take them to court. Right, they still could take them to court.
Because people were guessing, is there something in the fine print here? It comes with no conditions and does not impact their rights.
Right, yeah. So they could still take them to court for this money. They got more money, six times what the passengers got for that Hudson, Miracle on the Hudson plane. That was, what, 15 years ago? Yeah. Sully.
But they landed right side up.
They landed right side up in the water, in the Hudson, which may be dirty enough to walk on. I don't know. But the payout to that reached over $2.2 million combined after they went to court. So they could still go to court and take them. But would you take $30,000? Like, if I told you that the next flight I don't want to talk about the next flight because we're running it together. But would you take a flight that lands upside down, you live, no major injuries at all, and you get free $30,000 out of it?
All right, you're telling me you live in no major injuries.
It's the same situation as this, right? Everybody walks off the plane. Ooh. There was a few injuries, but...
No, because
I do it for 20. I do it for 20.
20 bucks?
No, 20,000.
No, because I'm never gonna want to fly again. Like,
yeah.
I think it'll scar you.
Yeah, I would get PTSD. I would not be able to walk on a plane again.
I think walking on the plane the next time would be really tough. You get the 30 grand, but you also have, like, you have a new career. You're a public speaker now. I've survived. I've cheated death. You know, you can go on TikTok, make a killing off that, I'm sure.
But how did they get out of their seats? Did anyone, like, fall?
I have no idea because...
carried and, like, airlifted down.
The moment you want to get out of there quickly because the thing's on fire, essentially, right? So the moment you unbuckle, you're going to drop like a rock right in your head.
Yeah, that would. I mean, that was the woman that was in there. You could see her. She was when she went on Snapchat for the content. She was like strapped in there and could like if she would have dropped, she would have dropped right on her head and like broken her neck or something. So this is my favorite story that I saw yesterday, Sean. There's a fashion ad that has been banned in the UK. Normally, whenever there's a fashion ad that gets banned or any advertisements like a little too edgy or they said something, they didn't run something by a PR department. Guys, you didn't realize you can't say that or you can't make a joke about that. That is not the case in this one. This is an ad that has been banned because of the way a woman looks. I'm going to show you this. Is there a problem with this photo right here? This is the advertisement.
Absolutely not.
No, she looks good.
No, not according to the Advertising Standards Agency in the UK, which has determined she looks too skinny.
Her left leg, I was going to say something.
So the image shows the model sitting on a wooden block with one leg bent and one leg outstretched towards the camera. Here she is again, Chop. Right there.
Left leg, a little skinny.
So the photo was used in a product listing for denim leggings on the website for the advertiser Next. So the ad regulator said the photo is irresponsible and that the retailer deliberately used camera angles and the model's pose to emphasize the thinness of her legs. And so I get the whole idea that's been out there of just like, hey, we don't want to give, you know, women and girls body issues from just like, these unrealistic standards and different things like that. But it's also like, what if that's just like naturally her look? Like that's her metabolism. Like, aren't we kind of reversing now where it's like, you're too skinny. You're so skinny that you should be banned. Like you shouldn't even be seen in public as somebody because you'll make other people feel uncomfortable.
Well, if you can be called out for being too chubby to model, why not this?
No, I know, but like, I mean, they wouldn't ban. They wouldn't ban. They wouldn't ban an ad, like an advert, a government agency.
It just wouldn't. You wouldn't get hired, right?
Right, but like, I mean, this is the government basically saying.
What country is this?
This is in the UK. In fact, they said that if they want to publish the ad again, they have to change the camera angle and they have to change her pose.
How are UK women?
I don't know. I've never been.
But they all need braces.
I'll tell you this. If I had, I have opinions on this, but if I was Bassett and I put my 2 weeks in, I would give them, but I haven't, so I'm not going
to. Well, you don't have to. Bassett gave those opinions without the 2 weeks. 877-881-1053 in order to hit us up on DFW Sports Station. Were you all in on the Four Nations last night? And is Netflix coming to screw up our NFL Sundays? That's next on Sean and RJ.